The Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. This can be found on page 1047 of the Bible in the pews. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers and relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who he had invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house is full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Trinity College, Bristol, class of 88, with our vicar, Mark Brown. That's my claim to fame. I've been worshipping at PNP now for nearly 3 years. So let's begin with prayer. Lord, I pray that you help me speak. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and help us to do your will in our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen. We all know good hospitality when we experience it, don't we? Be it a wedding banquet of hundreds of people, or Sunday lunch with Gran and Granddad, or a meal with a friend. It's the feel-good factor, isn't it, that we remember the most when we come away feeling very special. It's the little touches. You get seated with somebody, at least one person you know, at a wedding banquet on the table. Or when grandma remembers that you don't like Brussels sprouts. So there's another option. Thank you, grandma. I have worked in 3 churches in Singapore, London, and Hong Kong. And it's the unique hospitality of each church extended to me that I remember the most. I was invited to take the post of Director of Children and Youth at St. Andrew's Hong Kong. At that time, John Aldiss was the vicar. Some of you might know him. And I'm actually visiting him this Thursday in Leicester. Actually, Director of Children and Youth was a bit scary when that post was offered to me. It's a fancy name, really, for youth worker of 3 groups and 2 Sunday schools. 3 youth groups and 2 Sunday schools. It's a big church, over 2,000 congregations. It's the biggest English-speaking church in Hong Kong. So I decided to visit this youth group on a holiday in Hong Kong, incognito. Nobody knew how I blended in, being Chinese. So whilst on holiday, I went to this youth group. They didn't know who I was, and I was actually deciding whether to take on this job offer. It was a barbecue I was ushered into. Now, a young teenager, about maybe 14 years old, made his way towards me, young lad. We had never met. He offered me a chicken wing, barbecued really well. I was so touched. I must have looked quite hungry. When I did accept the offer and worked in Hong Kong for 3 years, this young lad was chuffed that his acts of hospitality, kindness, and generosity nailed it for me. What lovely kids, I thought. Definitely I'll take on this job. This morning, we are looking at Jesus' teaching on hospitality. As we know, Jesus' teaching on any matter challenges our comfort zones, demands genuineness and a sacrificial, non-hypocritical attitude, because God sees our hearts and knows. Hospitality was part and parcel of life in Jewish Middle Eastern culture. In the Bible, we see how much meeting over food was very important. In Psalm 23, there is a mention of a table set before me. In the New Testament, Jesus fed the 5,000. He didn't let them go hungry. On the prodigal son's return, the fatted calf was killed for dinner. Again, food. At the Last Supper, when Jesus broke bread and gave the wine as a symbol of his body and blood, Jesus didn't call an extraordinary general meeting to discuss the significance of his death on the cross. He used the Passover. And this was a meal to express his final words of goodbye to his disciples. And then we also have a great banquet to look forward to, don't we, when Christ comes again. I've just got back from Singapore, and my time in Singapore is just about enjoying the hospitality of my friends and family. They all feel sorry for me, you know, all the local food, I can't get it here. So they feed me when I'm back there. And it's always over food, okay? You never meet for a drink, it's always over food. Only in the Far East would you be planning what you'll be eating for dinner whilst having lunch. That's true. So my genetically determined ethnic propensity to eat a lot has changed living in this country. We eat to live, my Singaporean friends say, but I'm quite a lightweight, and I tell them, buffets, eat all you want, eat as much as you want. That's just a waste of money. I probably can't eat everything now. In these verses in Luke, we get a better understanding of how Jesus viewed hospitality and what would be pleasing to God. So just 3 points to consider. Be counterintuitive, be generous, and be ready. Firstly, be counterintuitive. Jesus is invited by a prominent Pharisee to a meal in his home. No doubt the guests were handpicked, selected, people he wanted to be seen with, people who would return the favor and invite him in return. But Jesus could see through the ulterior motives and confronts him. Jesus throws a curveball. Be different, he says. Go against the grain. Be counterintuitive. Invite your home the ones no one normally invites, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the alien and the stranger, those who are not of our class, those who you don't have much in common with, those whose presence will disturb your lifestyle and take you out of your comfort zones. Being counterintuitive means you act contrary to common sense expectations. It's a higher order thinking skill, really, and usually it arises when confronted with a real problem. So just for example, at the height of an argument, a teenager is exasperated that his parents don't understand him, Why can't I go and stay at my friend's house again this weekend? What's the problem? A counterintuitive teenager would in fact back down, say sorry for yelling, help with the dishes, and give mum and dad a huge hug, a meaningful one to say thank you for being such a protective and caring parent. A counterintuitive parent wouldn't get into an argument in the first place, but explain nicely the reasons for the ban and how much they love their teenager and would miss their presence over the weekend. A counterintuitive parent would zip it as less is more. And being counterintuitive is what you do as a youth worker. You roll with the punches and you have to think on your feet. Who would be counterintuitive for you? Some people are not really our cup of tea, are they? Maybe we need the Lord to help us see people through his eyes. Hosts that are blessed by the Lord are those who do not expect anything in return, as their reward will be in heaven. In verse 14, it says, "You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, the day when Jesus comes again." Someone at the meal overheard this and said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." This triggered Jesus' response, which is his parable of the great banquet. Jesus never misses an opportunity to link everyday life to heavenly perspectives. There's a greater awareness now. Churches must have a disabled toilet. There's wheelchair access. Car lifts are organized to ensure that transport isn't the problem for people to get to church. We run food banks, host feasts. We visit care homes and bring our hospitality with us to bless others. And we have become very aware of the need to serve the poor, the disadvantaged, and the disabled. How does that make us feel? Let us ask the Lord to inspire us. Who do we know that those who aren't our cup of tea? Secondly, be generous. A lavish banquet meant a lot of guests and a lot of food. One chicken can probably feed 2 to 4 people, a calf, 35 to 45 it seems, and a lamb, about 10 to 15. So the food was ready and the guests were reminded. "Please excuse me," they said. Therefore, it must have been seen as very rude to give the excuses and cancel. Can you imagine all that food ready and going to waste? Now, this was a generous host. To Jesus, the generosity is not in what is being served, but who are you opening up the banquet to, especially to those who may appreciate the invitation more. Now, parables are interesting in that there are layers of meaning. In the new Lion King movie, for example, state-of-the-art CGI technology, I was mesmerized, so realistic, I screamed twice. I know it's only a cartoon. On the one hand, it is the cute story of Simba, the lion cub, and his life story. But on another level, the adults can see the themes in Hamlet of the dark betrayal of evil uncle and retaliation. So at what level is the Lord speaking to you from this parable of the great banquet? The Pharisees are very good at naming the outcasts. They criticize Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners. In fact, the Pharisees just waiting for Jesus to trip up. Very, very good at naming and shaming Jesus if they could. Are we the same? The guests from the highways and byways were the Gentiles, the non-Jews. What do our highways and byways look like? Jesus was most probably not, Luke was probably not a Jew. So this was a sneaky addition to his gospel. And his message in Luke is salvation is extended to everyone. Are we generous? What is the Lord saying to us? Thirdly, be ready. God invites all to come to him. Look at the excuses. I bought a field. I need to see it. I bought some cows. I need to check them out. I've married a wife, so I cannot come. Maybe we have used a variation of these excuses ourselves. Who would buy a field and not look at it? Who would invest in Oxford without checking them out first? What an insult. Do you think the host is that stupid? And thirdly, I married a wife. It's really not up to me. I'm needed somewhere else. But you get the message. None of these reasons are genuine. They must have been very insulting to the host to get the regrets in such a late stage. Are we ready? Let's ask the Lord again to inspire us to use our time and our talents for his glory. In conclusion, hospitality is PNP's theme for this year. And we're halfway through now. How are we sharing the love of God with others? So how do we put the teaching on hospitality to use now? Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Holiness is practical. So as God is generous and gracious, we can be too. It's in our DNA, because God is our Father. So let's dig deep. It's there. As a church, how hospitable are we? What are we doing to open up our spaces? How counterintuitive and generous can we be? In the Building for the Future project, we are expanding. We are making better use of the facilities we have to reach out and serve God. We want to be generous. We are blessed, so we bless others. As a family, how are we sharing our time and talents of home cooking for meals to those who love company and maybe to be made a fuss of every now and then? As an individual, how do we make ourselves available? Do we give time for people? What about volunteering in society, in the community, being a friend? Let's pray that our 5 loaves and 2 fish, that God can multiply our gifts for his glory. On Friday, I went up to the tower for the very first time. The steps alone were quite a challenge. I don't know how some people skip up them. And I had a chance to ring the bell, one bell, and I was given help to do it. I was told that I couldn't really do it properly because I would probably disappear up the top. But it's a real skill, bell ringing. And thank you very much for sharing that with us. You know, they just say something and everyone knows their part. They've been used to it. They know each other and they work as a team. And that's their gift and their contribution to our worship today. Jesus doesn't demand more than is humanly possible in hospitality. In the Mary and Martha incident, we must find a balance. Be busy for the Lord, but also remember to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. But you know what? The ultimate act of hospitality we will ever offer is to the Lord himself. In Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Jesus refers to the door of our heart. It's a special request by Jesus. He wants us to willingly open the door of our hearts and invite him in to fellowship with him over a meal. Are we ready? An encounter with Jesus is life-changing. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, changed his ways after meeting Jesus and after Jesus came to his house for tea. We will be changed too when we meet face to face with the Lord. So let's close in prayer. And in a moment of quiet, let's just reflect. What is the Lord saying to us as a church and as individuals? Let's be quiet for a moment and ask the Lord to give us a new, refreshed attitude towards the people in our lives, at work, at home, at church, the highways and byways of our lives. And let's remember that Christ is the head of the house, the silent guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Lord Jesus, you spoke sternly to the Pharisees who thought they were practicing their religion. As you challenge us too in our complacency and lack of interest, speak to us that we may be God-centered in this area of hospitality. Amen.